Next on BYU Sports Nation, Cougar basketball going dancing again, officially making it an NCAA tournament trip as of yesterday. We'll react to the seed, opponent, and location. We'll be joined by head coach Mark Pope to discuss BYU's first-round matchup against Duquesne, what it meant to make the tournament year one in the Big 12 specifically.
Is Zach Wilson headed to the team he thought best fit his skills coming out of BYU? And women's hoops continues postseason play. Who did the Cougs match up with Thursday night in the new WBIT?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. The madness is upon us. Happy Monday. I'm Spencer Linton. He is a man who is packing his dancing shoes, Jerem Jordan.
I am so excited for BYU to be in the dance. We all are, right? Like, last year was so disappointing not to make the NIT, Spence. For this team to go to this situation and have an opportunity to March Madness is so exciting. BYU's dancing. This would be the third year in five for Mark Pope. It's the second because of the COVID tournament, right? So hey, let's go, man. This is the most fun that I think we have as sports fans all year. March Madness, Thursday, Friday, all day, baby. Just games, games, games. Saturday, Sunday, I love it.
It's the greatest time of year in terms of just like a sporting event from start to finish. I think the first two rounds specifically are like Christmas morning for sports fans.
Four games at a time, like all day. That's pretty awesome.
It's so fun.
I enjoy the World Cup quite a bit, but I think the first 2 days beat out any of the days of the World Cup, if that makes sense.
There are just so many upsets. Like, the World Cup is super fun, but typically
not as many upsets
do not happen.
Morocco going to, like, the quarters or whatever was
crazy.
South Korea, when you were there, made a crazy run. So
Croatia with the BYU Sports Nation Karma making a run to the final.
But ultimately, who cares about Croatia making a run? It's about BYU, right? Or, like, my five-year-old Tate, you know, 2 years ago picked St. Peter's in his bracket all the way. They make the Elite Eight. I'm like, bro, you had St. Peter's in this game.
This is about the Peacocks, okay?
Yes,
it is. And the Retrievers of UMBC.
The Retrievers. I love trying to know the mascots of everybody. Like, I couldn't have told you Duquesne was the Dukes before last night. But now I know. I love learning all of this stuff.
Hey, BYU gets a team that's in the NCAA tournament for the first time since 1977. And all BYU fans hoping that it's a very short-lived.
You thought it would have been a hot minute since BYU had won a game. How about just go?
Oh,
so Duquesne's going to be hungry Thursday.
Hey, we're going to get into everything. I know that the expectations were that BYU would have a better seed and maybe a better location. Yep. We're going to discuss all of that. So rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
I mean, I'm just super excited to be out there and do it with my teammates. This is what we've been working for all year since the summer, making sure that we're ready for this first game.
I think the guys in general understand the opportunity that we have in front of us, and we're excited to go try and take advantage of it.
What's trending, presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Dance the night away. Or in BYU's case, dance the morning away, because they're playing in another morning scenario.
Yes, they are,
in
Spence. This is what BYU does now.
Apparently, it's a thing.
Three in a row, like 11:30 or 40.
The alt cast on BYU Sports Nation is back on Thursday.
20 great minutes.
BYU gets that 6 seed. They'll take on the 11 seed Duquesne. First round in Omaha this Thursday. And a matchup against, we think, probably Illinois, the 3 seed, if BYU gets through their first
contest. Come on, Morehead State.
Okay, a lot of questions surrounding BYU seeding and location. Let's just start overall with the all-encompassing question, Jerem. How do you feel about the draw and everything it entails for BYU?
Listen, I like the opponent the most because you look at Duquesne, and it is a team that just won the Atlantic 10. They are hot. They were a 6 seed in their own tournament and won it. They've got a pair of guards that are really good in Dede Grant and Jimmy Clark III. Great defense. Those guys combined for almost 32 a game. They made 145 threes. You got to stop those guys. I like BYU's chances in this game. They haven't seen a team like BYU. And listen, Duquesne's on fire. But BYU out of the Big 12.
They were so good that the streamers came down with 15 minutes left in the game yesterday.
Let's go, man. Let's go. That's when you know you are ready to win the game. The Dancing Dukes, like you said, haven't been there since 77. BYU is the 6. They are the weathered, hardened, experienced, older team that is more efficient on offense. Duquesne, the Dukes, are a better defense. But I like the matchup. Certainly, we were expecting a 5. BYU was a 5. And then bracketing principles pushed them down. More on that in a second. And then location. Certainly we are hoping for Salt Lake. There's some disappointment that it's not that. But Omaha, you know, there's some history there. You know, Mark Pope, I talked to them this morning. That's coming up. He says he's born in Omaha. So that's a fun connection. And then, look, Brigham Young, going back to where Brigham Young was sustained as the second president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in 1847. This is the place. Council Bluffs is across the river, bro, from Omaha. And so there's some history there with church history. So I like the opponent more than I like seed and say location. But I'm not going to be overly disappointed about this situation because guess what? I think it is a good draw for BYU. It is a winnable game in the first round. And then in the second round, you're playing a three seed in Illinois. Normally, we would be like, if BYU wins. Normally, we're like, oh, man, that's a really tough game. BYU's beaten a two seed in Iowa State. Would Baylor get a three? Yep. Three seed? A four seed in Kansas, a five seed in San Diego State. BYU's got good wins. They've beaten teams of the ilk of Illinois this year. So let's go. Let's go. Let's see if BYU can't win a game or two in this here NCAA tournament.
The three-point shot and the way that BYU does it makes them a difficult matchup for any team they could potentially face in the NCAA tournament, including Duquesne. And we've spoken about it on several occasions, especially last week. BYU's coming off a rough game. They did not play well against Texas Tech, and it would show, like evidence would show, that BYU has typically played well after a bad game. They've been sitting on a tough performance against Texas Tech. I like BYU and the matchup against Duquesne. I know that Omaha is certainly not Salt Lake City, and there's so much, like, so many people are like, how in the world does that You know what? Overall, it's a great draw. Like, big picture, this is a great draw.
Absolutely.
We'll get into the dynamics of, like, how this happens and whatnot, like, in just a moment. But, like, just look at Duquesne as it is. And I believe that someone on the committee said that before the game started between VCU and Duquesne, they had determined that the winner of that game was going to be the 11 seed. So VCU's metrics are a little better than Duquesne's.
It could have been VCU.
It could have been VCU, and people be like, oh, yeah, VCU makes sense as an 11 seed. Duquesne wins, and it's like, oh, their numbers are a little low. How do they get an 11 seed?
I don't know, but I'm not going to ask because I like it.
There is speculation that it was whoever won that conference championship game on Sunday between VCU and Duquesne was going to get the 11 seed and play in Omaha.
Which, by the way, look at the other 11s. NC State, who BYU beat in November. How good was that win now? Still a quad two, but they win five in a row to win the ACC championship, including beating Duke and North Carolina.
I know.
They're a hotter team than NC State right now.
This is something out of Jim Valvano's book.
Right, right. Throw Bailey, what's up? Oregon just won the Pac-12 title, ripping through Arizona. And then New Mexico is 22 in net, 23 in KenPom. They can fill it up, and they would have been an 11-seed type matchup. BYU got the best 11-seed possible.
100%.
If you're going to be a six, BYU got Duquesne, which is the best 11 possible. With that said, they're conference champ. They're playing well.
They won eight in a row.
Just took out Dayton. That was a top 25 win. So, yeah, fifth longest streak in the country. So, if you have to be a 6 and be an 11, hey, I like it. But tell us about bracketing principles, because Sunday play certainly seems like the one.
Yes.
But it's really about Kansas.
So, the overall seeding list comes out, and you see the number 17 next to BYU. And everyone's like, what the heck? Like, BYU wasn't just a 5 seed. The number 17 overall seed would suggest that they are the best of the five seeds. So how do they slide all the way into a 6? How do they drop 4 spots? So, and some people are like, well, Salt Lake City is a Thursday-Saturday scenario. So is Pittsburgh. Like, what's going on? Like, how come they couldn't be a 5 seed in one of those places? Like, you have to play a Thursday-Saturday scenario or prepare for it the entire way through. So even if it's Thursday-Saturday for the first two rounds, some of those teams, in this case, all of the five seeds, are then playing in Friday-Sunday scenarios after that. That hurts BYU. Okay? Then you have to consider, and I talked to Tom Homo yesterday. He said, literally,
he was on the committee for 3 years.
Yes, he knows. He knows the process. He called me and he's like, hey, I just saw all your tweets. Just want to clarify something. Like, when BYU's name pops up, if they are, like, their overall seed is placed in a scenario where they're going to play on a Sunday, there will be a red line through them immediately that says, nope. You have to move them to accommodate what BYU has requested.
And rarely, if ever, is it going to be up.
Rarely.
It'll be down.
Like, in a perfect world, in a great, like, it would be awesome that BYU would bump up one spot to 16 and they'd get a 4 seed.
You don't get rewarded for asking for a religious exception.
That's exactly right. So it's unfortunate, but it just fell that all of the 5 seeds at some point through the first round up through the Elite Eight would have to play in a Friday-Sunday scenario. Yeah. That's how San Diego State and Gonzaga and St. Mary's, all teams below BYU in the overall seeding list, get the five seeds, and BYU falls to the six.
Gonzaga was the one that seemed to kind of creep up and take BYU's spot, by the way.
Like, yeah, they're specifically they're Gonzaga. Number 21 in the overall seeding list.
They're the one that benefited the most. So ain't that a thing, Spence?
How does that work? How's that fair?
Are you bummed about that, by the way? Not being a five when BYU was the first five?
I'm a little bummed that BYU can't play with the number that they earned, right? Yep. Like, they earned a five seed. They were clearly a five seed.
Yeah. And maybe there's comments on that later.
Maybe there's some consolation in seeing the overall seeding come out, and it's like, oh, yeah, we still earned that, but, like, there's something to that. However, McNeese, Grand Canyon, like, those teams so good. Like, Gonzaga gets a terrible draw.
They're better as 12s than Duquesne is an 11.
Yes.
Like, I'm excited about having Duquesne and that matchup.
Yeah, Gonzaga gets an awful draw.
Doesn't mean BYU is automatically winning, but you look at the 12 seeds, look at the net, look at the KenPom, look at the strength of schedule. I don't think we'd even want to touch UAB after the bowl game a couple years ago,
right? Well, they ruined BYU's perfect season in basketball in 1988 as well.
Well, so maybe there was some heck to pay there. But, in the end, all good.
Like, nobody wants James Madison or McNeese or Grand Canyon.
I don't want James Madison after the football season, let alone the 31-3 basketball season. Riddle me this, though. BYU's 17. I do think back to the Iowa State game and not finishing that out.
They win that, they're a four seed, Jerem.
Oh, I think so. That's what I was going to say. Yes. I think BYU was this close to being a four.
They're a four seed. They're not playing in Salt Lake City, though, because the Salt Lake City scenario with the 4-5 shows that, like, that's later playing in Friday, Sunday. So BYU would have been a four seed somewhere else, but they would have been a four seed had they beaten Iowa State.
And it's just a little bit easier of a matchup in terms of the run you're hoping to make. Now, ultimately, and we'll dive into this week, it's about winning a game in the NCAA tournament. Certainly two would be great. It's required the National Player of the Year previously, so the expectations aren't that you win two in this tournament.
Yeah.
But this BYU team is capable of going to the Sweet 16. They are. Sean Farnham said as much as on ESPN. We've seen BYU at its best be a very good team that has defeated a 2, 3, 4, and 5 in this tournament, not to mention some others, right? This team is as ready for an NCAA tournament as any BYU team ever.
Yeah.
And hopefully they can show it. It all depends on if they hit threes. But no one's seen the passing of an Ali Khalifa. Fusini Traore is going to get some one-on-ones, which, by the way, there is a Fus Drame on Duquesne.
Oh, Fus and Fus.
Fus and Fus are going to match up, which is going to be fun. So I'm excited. BYU's dancing. It's a winnable game in the first round. Then you could play Illinois potentially, likely. And then BYU's beaten a team of the ilk of Illinois. So let's go, man.
I need to clarify a couple of things, too, because I know some fans are like, oh, it's the non-conference that hurt BYU. That's why they got – like, you guys are talking
Iowa
about
State
Sunday play.
Iowa State had a terrible non-conference,
You're talking
too.
About Sunday play. It's the non-conference. No, let me tell you. I have clarified with a former selection committee member. The non-conference and everything that goes into it is factored into the overall seating. All of that is understood.
Yeah.
So, like, non-conference strength of schedule is included –
and they
in
were
everything,
still
and they
17.
Were still number 17.
Yep.
Okay. And road record was included in all of that. Like, they take
all of it,
all of those into consideration, and then make the overall seating list. And then there's a scenario. It's like, well, BYU was requested not to play on Sunday, so they clearly cannot be a five seed, which stinks. But it is what it is. And frankly, they fall to the sixth seed. They get a favorable matchup in Duquesne. Big picture, this is really good. And you know what? It stinks that Kansas is the four seed in Salt Lake City because, yeah, that too would have prevented BYU from being in Salt Lake City because they're never going to have two teams from the same conference play each other in the first two rounds.
Potentially in the first two rounds.
Right.
And Mark clarifies too, I didn't know this, in the conversation you'll see coming up. That is a guideline, not a rule, he says.
Yeah, it's a guideline.
Guideline.
They don't like to do it.
A rule.
They don't have to do it.
They want to avoid potential rematches, which, by the way, BYU makes the Sweet 16 run.
Iowa State!
What's up? Speaking of Iowa State highlights, bag of three, Jax. Let's go.
Iowa State in Boston would be quite the scenario. Right?
Is Danny Ainge going out to that one? Visiting all the homies?
First things first, beat Duquesne. I don't care if it's ugly and it's by 1 point. Just survive in advance.
Just
win. That is what this tournament is about. Get to probably Illinois, and then just maybe BYU gets a third shot at Iowa State in Boston.
That would be
in the
fun.
Sweet 16.
By the way, shout out to Iowa State fans in Kansas City. They dominated that place. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they call it Hilton South.
Yes.
Right?
Like we say Cougar Stadium South.
Yeah.
Which is a Brian Keel quote, even though it had been Lavelle Edwards Stadium for a few years. That's okay, Brian. We all understand. Anything in Vegas, we're like, oh, Lavelle Edwards Stadium South. Let's go.
Omaha, here we go. Okay?
Yep.
Yeah, how many Peyton Manning gifts did all of you get yesterday?
Stephen Ashworth wins again. It's at the home of Creighton, which,
Omaha!
By the way, BYU won there in 2010. So let's see if BYU can't do it again.
Our question of the day, BYU a 6 seed. They'll take on the 11 seed Duquesne in Omaha on Thursday. 10:40 Mountain Time, 12:40 Eastern Time. How are you feeling about the seed opponent location in this first round of the NCAA tournament? Let's get some responses. Nick Anderson on X says.
Nick Anderson, like from the Magic?
I have no idea. Probably not him. Quote, optimistic in all aspects.
There you go.
The goal was to get to the big dance in the first year of the Big 12, and here we are. I like the path to the Sweet 16. Cougar Nation will show up wherever BYU plays. I just wish I could pronounce Duquesne. It is not Duquesne.
It's
Duquesne.
I don't think I could spell it before Googling it 28 times yesterday. Now I know how to spell it, I think.
Okay. Mark Pope, propagandist on X, answers, I think Duquesne is a significantly more favorable first-round matchup than any of the 12 seeds
yep.
would have been.
Just like we laid out.
Illinois will be tough, but beatable.
Yep.
BYU has their most realistic path to the Sweet 16 since Jimmer.
And what if Morehead State pulls off a 14-3? Like, this tournament has become crazier every year.
Yes.
Like, we did not think that a 16 would ever win, and now they've won two of the last, what, 4 or 5 years? It's been wild. Cannot wait for it.
Yeah, the challenge for Illinois is, like, they're on the high of highs right now. They just won the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
And they're playing super well. So they're supposed to destroy this team. This is what makes this tournament special. It's just sneaky. Like, we've seen several tournament championship winners that are, like, unbeatable. Like, Arizona.
Purdue last year.
Purdue.
Fairleigh Dickinson. By the way, the early start is better for Ali Khalifa in the fasting, and it's better for Max Rest for Saturday. So there are pros to that. And it's also Altcast on BYUSN. So let's
20
go.
Minutes on Thursday.
Let's go.
Dallin Arnold on X says, I really like the matchup against Duquesne. Super favorable first game for BYU, although BYU still has got to go out and play
yeah.
their best game.
Totally.
Nobody is safe in March.
There's a chance that this team 0-1s this with football, right? Amazing regular season, and then in the postseason, disappointment. You know, losing at the very end the last couple of games. This BYU men's basketball team's got to win a game in the first round. And if they win two, we'll start to have the conversation about, well, wait, is this the best team BYU's ever had? Because they did it in the Big 12, right? As opposed to third place in the WAC, 6 seed, lead 8. I still think 81's the best team BYU's ever had, then 2011. But maybe this team makes an argument more if they win the first round for third best or top three
maybe,
in BYU history.
Maybe.
Like, they have to win that first round game, which brings us to this. Listen to it on BYU Radio coming up on Thursday. BYU and Duquesne pregame coverage coming up at 11:30 Eastern Time on BYU Radio.
The Dukes were 16-11 before this current 8-game win streak. They've turned it on for sure.
Yep.
Cougs can play some ball too, especially after a bad loss. Up next, Jerem goes one-on-one with BYU head basketball coach Mark Pope, discusses what it means to him to make the tournament in year one of the Big 12, and what does he know about Duquesne at this point? He says guidelines. Man, come on, committee. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
It's time, guys. It's NCAA tournament time, and we you know, every game is the most challenging game of your lifetime, and it's all great teams. It's all championship caliber teams, and so we're excited to get going.
We are live in Studio B. It's a winning Monday. You know why? Because BYU's in the NCAA tournament.
A little bit of breaking news from Duquesne. Head coach Keith Dambrot, who, by the way, was LeBron's high school coach freshman and sophomore year.
Yeah.
Is retiring at the end of the season. So extra motivation for the Dukes.
Some added context.
Well,
it's been good enough. It's been good. They got back
to the tournament.
Got to the tournament
since 1977.
You got it. That's enough.
Good job.
You're good.
Good job.
Like, no,
BYU, take care of business. Don't mess around.
All good.
With that.
Your career has been successful.
Amazing career.
You can lose to BYU and sail off into the sunset. It's all good.
Certainly the hope. Please don't cold take us, Duquesne.
This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. As promised, Jerem earlier today going one-on-one with BYU men's basketball head coach Mark Pope to discuss the tournament matchup, the seeding scenario. He feels like the Cougars were jaded by not getting a five, and what in the world he knows about the Dukes right now. This is BYU Sports Station one-on-one, Jerem and Mark Pope.
All right, BYU's dancing. And Mark, what was your initial reaction when you see BYU pop up on the screen, which was very quick into the show, by the way?
Yeah, they didn't waste any time getting to it. It was nice. We're excited. This has been a long time coming, a long project for us. It's been an unbelievable season in terms of just the our guys' focus and diligence and work, and this is what you're working for. And so now we get a chance to go fight.
When you see that you're a six, what's your reaction there?
I thought we'd be somewhere in the 5-6. I was excited. I think we're like I said, once you get into this thing, every single team you play is good. And that's why there's upsets, theoretical upsets in this deal every single game. I was really proud of, you know, the fact that we finished 17 on the selection committee's list really is meaningful to us. We're really proud about that because that's the part we can control. And that's the part we kind of fought and worked for all season. And then the seedings are what they are, and let's go. We've got a huge matchup against a great team.
Bracketing principles applied, Sunday play notably, but also once Kansas, as Spence and I talked about a little earlier, once they were a four in Salt Lake, you probably weren't going to be in Salt Lake at that point, right?
Yeah, and that's a guideline, not a rule. So still, the whole thing would have been open. But, you know, like I said, our job, what we focus, I mean, we talk about urgency and faith all season long. And the urgency was to get us to 17. And then the faith part is whatever the committee does with that is fine with us. Let's go. But and that's the way we'll proceed in the postseason.
So you would have been okay being a five in Salt Lake, second round potentially with Kansas?
I would have been okay being a two. I would have been okay being an 11. We're just excited to have the opportunity to go compete, and this is what you work for.
Okay, you get Duquesne, an 11 seed, and Duquesne just won the A-10 as the 6 seed, so they've been on a path here. Not an NC State path, but that was pretty notable. That one was pretty good, by the way, in November. But now you line up with the Dukes, who are a champ and who are on fire, and now you compete in the NCAA tournament and hope to get to the second round. What do you think of Duquesne?
They're great. We've obviously done a lot of work on them in the last 12 hours here, and they have two incredibly explosive guards that can score any way they want to. They have bring a huge physicality to the game. They're one of the top defensive teams in their league and in their country, everybody's country. They're hot right now. You know, they've won eight in a row. They're probably one of the longest winning streaks in the country, and they're really well coached. This is the A-10 is, I think, you know, maybe the eighth best conference in the country right after the Mountain West, and we know how good the Mountain West is, and these guys won it and won it outright and won it convincingly. And so we got our work cut out for us, but that's what you want. I mean, that's the whole point of this. And so it's going to be really, really exciting Thursday morning, and can't wait to get to it.
In terms of location, obviously being in Salt Lake would have been awesome. Mm-hmm. Any level of disappointment that didn't happen?
I think only for our fans. I think, I guess for the local fans, I think it would have been a really fun experience to be in Salt Lake. But the one thing about BYU is, you know, you're a little sad for the fans of Utah, and you can't wait to celebrate with the fans in Nebraska, right? So it's one of the blessings of being here at BYU is we kind of have homegrown fans everywhere in this country. And so what an incredible blessing for them. And there's a reason why we're out there, and hopefully it involves winning.
Of course, Sunday night, the direct to Omaha got sold out. So I got to find a different flight out there to cover. Well, BYU fans are excited.
I'm thinking about, on my own, paying for a bunch of fleets of buses. I don't know. We got to figure that out. I don't know how long. I was going to calculate how long the bus ride was from here to there. It sounds like an appropriate thing for The Rock to do. Maybe we have to make that happen.
I think it's appropriate that you're a 12-minute drive away from where Brigham Young was sustain the second prophet.
It's very cool.
So, hey, there's a little church history there. Kansas City, cool. You're on this Midwest church history tour here.
I was born in Omaha, Nebraska. It's a
Were you really
place.
Born
yes,
in
I
Omaha?
Was. Yep. Yep.
Well then, how long did you live there?
About 6 months. 6 months, two tornadoes, and we were out.
One's fine. The second one,
We got to go. Don, Big Don was like, okay, I've had enough with the tornadoes. We're out of here.
Okay, the birthplace of Mark Pope, Omaha, Nebraska. Okay, when you think of the NCAA tournament, and you won a national championship, you've been in that tourney and won six games. What does it require of a team now that you've done it as a player and now you're in it for the second time as a coach?
I think it requires a refocusing. The teams that are going to be really successful probably are going to do something new. They're not going to reinvent the wheel. The reason they're there is because what they've done is well. They've done it well. But you collect so much baggage and so many battle wounds and so much scarring over the course of the season. It's an emotional journey. It's full of work and sweat and blood and tears and highs and lows and everything else. And so I think teams that can harness all of that, but kind of release all the baggage and go in as fresh and as deadly focused and energetic as they can have the best chance to compete. And that's a space where our team has been really good. And so we have high hopes.
You've been able to bounce back from disappointing losses really well this year. I'm thinking of, you lose to Kansas State, you beat Kansas. You end up beating Baylor after a disappointing loss, and so on and so forth. Coming off of Texas Tech, you guys were really disappointed, despite the fact you knew you were in the dance. Mm-hmm. You wanted to win that game. Do you carry any baggage into this tournament, or do you feel like, no, we are energized, excited, and are going to be our best selves on Thursday?
I mean, as you say that, the thing that's most exciting to me is that, you talked about a loss on the road to Kansas State and a loss in the tournament to Texas Tech. And the fact that our floor has risen so high that those are really disappointing losses is
right?
Really a tribute to what these guys have done. It's actually super exciting. And I think that you're speaking exactly to what we're talking about in terms of our guys' ability to get fresh, right, and to be focused and to believe. And NCAA tournament is all about that. It's about, you asked this question earlier, and I'll continue to answer it. The other factor is how together can you be, right? Interestingly, as you get overloaded with all the baggage of the season, kind of the purging of that is you continue to, unload your own personal agendas, and it's one thing that great teams that really are successful in the postseason do, and you just become, kind of look inward, and it's less about kind of what did I accomplish in this game and what did we, and you want to start the season that way, and good teams start the season that way, and great teams get to a point where you just don't even care anymore. All you care is how your team is functioning. We have some of that DNA in us too that helps us kind of get back to fresh, helps us deal with some of the setbacks that we face through the course of the season and could be keys to winning.
Do you feel like this team is sort of weathered and hardened in terms of experience and tough games being played better than any team you've coached, given that you just went through the Big 12 ringer? You've played a lot of teams that are really high seeds, and you have some notable wins against teams in this tournament, non-conference San Diego State too, to where you walk into this tourney and you go, okay, we're not going to play a team that is better than anybody we've already played.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to play teams playing the very best basketball that they can. And so this Duquesne team, for example, is, as hot as anybody in the country right now. I do feel like we've seen the vast majority of what there is to see in college basketball. And we've responded to it sometimes great and sometimes not as well as we want to. I don't think that we're going to face a ton of intimidation factor or name recognition awe. But I think we also come into this tournament with massive humility. The beauty of this tournament is that as much time as we spend on the seeding and the favorites and all the other stuff, it never works out that way, ever. And so there's a reason for that, and that is that every team in this tournament is a championship caliber team, maybe this year more than most that way. And so the seedings, the regions, all the stuff you kind of throw out the window, and really the only thing we're thinking about right now is we got a red hot, great, tremendous Duquesne team that we play on Thursday morning, and that's our life right now. And that's why the tournament is so fun, is you just get to focus and refocus it over and over and over again.
looking at the region, so if you can get to the second round, right, potentially Illinois or Morehead State. Illinois just won the Big Ten. And then you've got two Final Four teams in the region, in FAU and San Diego State, not to mention the national champs in UConn. And, yeah, it's, so three of the four. It feels like the region of death, but you're certainly focused on that first-round matchup. But
all those names you just said, I'm like, wait, I have not thought about it. I'm like, my mind is spinning right now. I haven't got there right.
Iowa yet. State could be there in the Sweet 16. Yeah. You know, bracketing principle, they avoid the same conference until the third round, the Sweet 16. All this stuff, right? Yeah. But it's going to be a fun tournament. What was your kind of favorite memory of playing in the tournament when you were at Kentucky?
Oh, man, it's just a blur, and I think that's the way it's supposed to be if you do it well.
You played in six games.
Yeah.
That's a lot of ball.
I remember, you know, we're a one seed in the NCAA tournament, and our 116 was a really difficult game. That's probably what I remember the most. You know, we finally kind of sprung loose in the last 10 minutes. And that's exactly what I'm talking about with this tournament. It's why it's so magical. It's why we love it so much. It's why it's probably the greatest large-scale sporting event in the world, is because it happens so fast and because it's so unpredictable. And it's a one-off game, so anything can happen. It's just really special, and I'm grateful that we get a chance to participate in it. I'm grateful that we get to do it with this team that has walked this journey over the last couple of years, and we're just full of gratitude, man, and can't wait to get to work.
Talking to Mark Pope on BYU Sports Nation ahead of BYU and Duquesne in the first round of the NCAA tournament in Omaha. It's another early tip. Yeah. Are you used to the early tips at this point, since you had two Central Time tips of about 11:40?
Yeah, it was fun. You know, once that was announced, kind of released last night, I got to talk with some of the guys, and certainly there is a little bit of a comfort level, only a sense that we've done it. It's not something that's new. And so talking to the guys about how we proceeded with the Central Florida game and the Big 12 tournament, and what the day was, the day before prep was, and 2 days before, I think our guys felt pretty comfortable with it. We kind of talked about, do we want to change anything? They're not like, nope, let's run it back exactly the way we did. And so the familiarity is nice, because it just, you know, it takes out some guessing. We know how it feels and what it's like. And so we can focus more on just the competition.
Along those lines, strategically, you're going to play a team that hasn't played you yet. Mm-hmm. The Big 12 teams, you know, you can see certain film or certain second time or whatever. Yeah. What advantage does that play in terms of the uniqueness of how you share the ball and what a guy like Ali Khalifa presents?
Yeah, I think it's the same for both teams, right? We have a freshness and an undiscoveredness about Duquesne where we have to kind of figure them out. And so, you know, the process is a flurry of phone calls. So you're calling every guy you know in their league. They're calling every guy they know in our league and trying to swap scouts and get an understanding of the vibe. You know, on film you see sets and you see scheme and pace, and in the numbers you can see everything. But talking to coaches, you get a sense of like how the game flows from the perception of an opponent. You get a sense for the physicality and what was daunting and what they actually experienced on the court that they hadn't seen in film. And so the exploration of the scout is actually really fun and exhilarating, and trying to do the best you can to figure it out.
How much do you give up in a phone call like that to, say, someone who's, say, playing another Big 12 team, where you may be loyal to the Big 12 team, but also you want to help out, like a buddy on another team?
Well, I shouldn't say this, but it really depends on how much you like the coach you're talking to and how much you like the coach you're talking about. I mean, it's just, you know, I think in general, all of us know that there's only so much you can contribute, right? Because the truth is that, you know, while I talk about this kind of vibe and flow and the nuances of a scout, those things are, you know, a 1%. And so it's both, right? There is always that dynamic at work, for sure.
How's Ali's ankle? And kind of give us an update on how he's doing through Ramadan and fasting and everything.
Yeah, I think he's doing great. He was terrific yesterday when we were together as a team. Actually gave a little speech and crushed it. And I think the longer that Ramadan goes on, I think the more comfortable he gets kind of playing and practicing. And it's just a, you know, like I said, it's This urgency in faith is really great. You know, all of our guys kind of have a faith basis, and so, you know, Ollie's made this decision that he's going to be really faithful and trusting, and then he doesn't know exactly what's going to come from it, but he's going to race that in faith, and that's what he's doing. It's pretty awesome to watch.
There are a lot of principles that we all could apply in that space.
100%.
And if there's any fan base that understands fasting, it would be this one, right?
Well, and it's with the seating too. It's really a beautiful, like it's been such a great gospel principle for our guys, in the sense of, you know, we could have spent the last 24 hours really twisted up a seed and arguing and fact finding and whatever and all the kind of stuff. And, you know, the fact is that we were a 17 and we're the only team in the first 36 that wasn't seeded according to where they belonged. Everybody else in the 36 was seeded according to where they belonged.
Meaning you were in the five space, but you
weren't
in
we're the first five, but we were seeded as somewhere in the sixes.
Gotcha.
And that was the only team that was misplaced. But we're a faithful group, man, and so there's a reason for that. And we spent zero time worrying about it. There's no anxiety about it. And so it's just like on to this challenge. There's a reason why we're supposed to be in Omaha, and there's a reason why we're supposed to be playing Duquesne, and that doesn't guarantee a win or a loss. It just means there's reason behind it. And when you live your life with that type of faith where you're bringing every, you know, our urgency was getting to 17, right? And then you live your life kind of with that faith basis, it sure takes away a lot of stress and anxiety and allows you to focus more in on the work at hand. It's pretty awesome. And so you're right, like as a gospel principle that we can all put in our life, it's pretty magical.
And his ankle's okay?
He's doing great. Yeah,
great.
He's feeling better. And you know, Ollie is a work in progress health-wise, like every single guy on our team and every team in college basketball right now. These guys have been through the wars, and so everybody's got aches and pains. But, you know, we expect to put a full roster on the floor and go battle together.
Okay, well, back to the birthplace.
Yes.
Mark Pope.
Yes.
Didn't know that coming in today. I'm here to learn.
We're really blessed, man.
Let's go. Well, all the BYU Sports Nation karma that we could possibly muster goes into Thursday against
Duquesne.
Thank you,
baby. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming in. Best of luck.
Thanks, guys.
BYU basketball head coach Mark Pope on BYU Sports Nation. Always insightful.
Learned a lot there.
And I'm glad that Ali Khalifa is feeling good and is going to be available. Like, I know that was a huge concern, understandably, for a lot of BYU fans. Like, okay, what's Ali's status?
And looking ahead to next year, Robbie McCombs of Vancouver's Foe is reporting that sources are telling him Noah Waterman did, in fact, get his medical redshirt waiver approved.
Come on back, Noah!
Meaning he's officially good for next year. So
come on back, Noah!
That's very exciting.
Stay away, suitors, for Mark Pope!
Exactly. Exactly. If BYU makes a run, they're going to be after him, man. Okay, check out the BYU football alumni game coming up on Friday night. This is always fun. Last year's has been epic. 8 Eastern time on BYU TV.
So you may have noticed that there's more than just basketball going on. After the break, we recap a very busy weekend, including a juicy Zach Wilson trade rumor that could have him going somewhere where there is another former Cougar great playing and playing well, and where BYU women's basketball will be playing in their postseason. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's roll out a long list of Monday headlines.
Men's basketball going dancing again. Mark Pope's team earns a 6th seed in the NCAA tournament, taking on the A-10 champs Duquesne as an 11th seed in Omaha, Nebraska, Thursday at 12:40 Eastern on True TV and BYU Radio. This is BYU's 31st NCAA tournament.
Wow, 31.
Second, would have been third in the COVID year under Mark Pope.
Mark's got to win that first tournament game. Let's go!
Mm-hmm.
BYU women's basketball will continue their season, playing in the inaugural WBIT postseason tournament. The Cougars finished 16-16 in year one of the Big 12, Amber Whiting. And the team will take on the 4-seed Santa Clara on the road on Thursday. This marks the 28th postseason appearance for BYU women's basketball in their program history.
This is the new second-best postseason tournament. WNIT, kind of the tertiary one now. So BYU, next best thing. Let's go. BYU football wrapped up week 3 of spring practices with a scrimmage Saturday morning. Here's what Kalani Sitake had to say about it.
Really happy with practice today. All live today, so the special teams weren't live, but we had a good amount of live reps. I think O and D had 76 reps of live work. QB was live. Other than Jake Retzloff and Gary Bohannon, we had everybody else go live, and I thought offense did a pretty good job today. Scored a lot of points, made a lot of plays, and defense had their moments, but overall, I thought the offense had the upper hand today.
Today's Kalani practice.
You just finished working out?
I think he just ran the stairs. Today is practice 9 of 15. And another football news. Kyrus Tonga signs a one-year deal with the Arizona Cardinals, and this just in, Michael Davis signs with the Washington Commanders after 7 years with the Chargers. 7 years? It's been that long already?
Wow. BYU baseball, hey, win another Big 12 series, back-to-back games on Friday and Saturday to take that series against Houston. BYU scored 3 runs on Friday in the bottom of the 8th to rally and win 4-2.
Thanks Bryce to that Robinson, homer right there.
Yep, went 2-for-4 with that home run to pace BYU's offense. On Saturday, the Bat-Cats came out in fresh new uniforms. More on that in a moment. Had 10 runs on 13 hits in a 10-8 series clinching win. Crew Robinson was a single short of the cycle. He was 3-for-4 with a double, triple, and a home run. BYU improves to 9-8 overall. They're 3-3 in the Big 12.
Softball lost to Parrott, number 3 Texas Friday, to fall to 16-9 overall, 1-5 in Big 12 play. Cougars play at Utah tonight on the Pac-12 Network, which still exists.
BYU Gymnastics scored a 196.750. Solid score on Friday night in Seattle, their second highest score of the season. BYU held the top score on 2 of the 4 events thanks to Brinley Anderson's 9925 on the beam. She's a star there. And Kylie Quinto's 9975 on
Whoa!
The floor.
She got a 10 from
she
one judge.
She got a 10.
Yep.
Up next, Big 12 Championships on Saturday.
It was the opening weekend of the NWSL, BYU's pro affiliate, the Utah Royals, basically. Featured Brecken Mozingo, Cam Tucker, both got in, got a shot. 2-0 loss to the Chicago Red Stars, who featured new signing Nadia Gomes, who had a shot as well. Ashley Hatch recorded a shot on goal for the Washington Spirit, who lost 1-0 to the Seattle Reign. And Olivia Wade Cotillo made her debut for the Portland Thorns, who lost 5-4 to the KC Current. That stadium, by the way, that KC has, it's specific to their team.
Women's sports only.
Right on the Missouri River, right by downtown. Drove right by it going out from Kansas City. Pretty cool stadium.
Yeah, the Mahomes clan, they were lit on Saturday in that 9-combined-goal effort. BYU track and field competing at the Arizona Spring Break Fiesta meet. Riley Hunt, Cameron Bates, Danny Bryant, and Dallin Schertz all won individual events for the men's side. On the women's side, Libby Parkinson improved on her BYU number 6 all-time spot in the women's javelin, and Annalise Hart tied the program's 10th best mark in the 400-meter hurdles.
Women's tennis dropped a match at Kansas State over the weekend. Cougars having a great year still, 12-3 overall, 4-2 in the Big 12.
BYU Swim and Dive finishing competition at the CSCAA National Invitational Championship over the weekend, with the men and women's teams combining for 6 top 15 finishes.
Men's golf tees off this morning at the Pama Valley Invitational in Pama Valley, California. The tournament being hosted by LMU. Play continues through tomorrow.
And how about a shout out to Daniel Schneeman, who is doing his work in spring training for the Cleveland Guardians. He's with the AAA team, we think, right now, but he's having a fantastic spring training, hitting .368, including a home run, a triple, and 5 runs driven in so far this spring. Just maybe this is the year he gets the long-awaited call-up to the majors. Those are today's headlines. Now we whip it. Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
An account called NFL Notifications says that Zach Wilson to the 49ers for a 7th-round pick is, quote, very close. We're not going to act like this source is super credible. We're just going to have some fun with it. Okay. How do you feel about the idea of Zach potentially going to San Francisco as the backup?
You and I have loved the idea of Zach being a San Francisco 49ers quarterback for a very long time. We knew John Lynch was very, very interested in Zach Wilson when he showed up for Zach's pro day.
And they traded up to 3 that day.
But the Jets took him at number 2, and then Trey Lance went number 3 to the 49ers. That didn't
really
work out. Brock Purdy is the guy. The 49ers apparently need a solid backup quarterback now, with Sam Darnold on the market and gone. So yeah. I like it. I think it makes a lot of sense. I would love to see Zach end up in the Bay Area.
Oh, my gosh. Zach Wilson told us pre-draft. We said, is there a team that fits your skill set best? And he said, Niners. And we were like, whoa! Didn't go 2. This would be great. It'd be great to back up Purdy. Be with Kyle Shanahan in that system. I think that'd be the perfect spot for him. I don't want to see Zach in the Niners uniform per se as a Seahawks guy, but I think it'd be the best fit for him. I think that'd be awesome.
It 100% would be. And frankly, with the mock-up, he looks pretty good in that 49ers red and gold.
He looks great.
Go join Fred Warner. Go hang out with Fred.
That'd be fun.
The transfer portal, amazingly, opened today for college basketball. What? The March Madness games haven't even started. Transfer portal's open. Is it too early for the portal to be open in college basketball?
There's not like a date that truly makes sense, Spencer, given how long the seasons are and whatnot. Like in football, we're talking about it's just hard because guys want to transfer teams, get in there for January 1st after the season. You're in midseason. Teams are still playing. The teams that said no to the NIT, maybe they're getting a jump start on this. Why would they say no to the NIT? I don't know when the right date is exactly, Spence. I don't know.
It just feels like there are so many things happening right now that it just, it's chaotic. I don't, what do you not, what do you get from opening it now compared to like in 2 weeks when the tournament is winding down and it's April 1st?
There's like 16 teams left, but then they're at a disadvantage. They're still playing meaningful games.
Why not wait till the end of the season?
Can you imagine if NFL free agency opened during the season?
It'd be so weird. That's what I'm saying.
Wait till it's over by like a month.
Wait until the season's over and then open it up.
Second week in April?
Yes, April 10th or whatever it would be, for sure.
BYU women's basketball is playing at Santa Clara in the first round of the WNIT. WBIT. What do you expect?
I think BYU can beat Santa Clara. So I'd say I expect a win. Even though it's a road contest, I think they're capable of winning that game. So one win. What about you?
I expect BYU to win the title. In fact, let's pull up my bracket. I filled it out already for the WBIT. Okay, I've got BYU beating Santa Clara, and then Washington State probably, and then maybe Florida's the three, and then maybe Miami, and then BYU all the way. I don't care about anybody else, Spence.
Okay.
Just Brigham Young.
Okay. In Hinkle Fieldhouse.
In Hinkle Fieldhouse.
On April 3rd.
Yeah. Let's make it happen, Brigham.
I love it. BYU is a 5 seed, perceivably.
Yeah, 1 seed. Right?
Okay. BYU baseball donned some new uniforms Saturday.
Oh, yes.
They're so clean.
Sailor Cook for the win.
And they clinched the win over Houston in those uniforms. How do you feel about them, Jerem?
I don't like them. I love them.
I want that hat.
Oh, the hat is.
I want the white hat with the royal blue brim.
Yes. Paging Trent Pratt.
Come on.
Let's go. Hey,
just put them up for sale. They never go on sale.
Oh, I'm just walking down to the Miller Park. I'll just talk to Bushman.
Talk to the equipment manager.
Let's see if
Hi, buddy.
Hey,
how's it going?
How's the fam? BYU women's basketball playing at Santa Clara Thursday night. And the WBIT can listen to Shep on the call, 9 Eastern on BYU Radio.
First game on the road to a championship. And
yeah, baby, we're going all the way, Spence.
How are you feeling about BYU's NCAA tournament draw on the men's side? More responses to your question of the day after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in studio. Be our
question. I wish
question
you could see what happened during the break. I'm not going to tell you, but I wish you could see it. It's very
funny. BYU is the 6th seed. They'll take on the 11th seed Duquesne in Omaha on Thursday in the men's tournament. How are you feeling about the seed opponent location in the first round of the big dance?
Hey.
At TDHawk13 on Instagram says, Duquesne has the feel-good storyline behind their quest, which is always dangerous.
Yeah, Keith Dambrot announced his retirement this morning after the last game. So, hey, you got that motivation, A-10 champs. Listen.
Keith, you got into the tournament for the first time since 77.
Like, mission accomplished.
Good.
Incredible
career.
It's all
career. Good. Like, there's, you incredible don't need to do career. Anything else. You've accomplished enough.
Good. Brigham needs this.
Cole Smith on Instagram. Yeah, BYU hasn't won a tournament game in 12 years.
Yeah.
Gonzaga taking BYU's spot hurts, man. It hurts. I thought I was over her. You know what? Do you really want McNeese? Do you really want McNeese?
Well,
I don't think BYU fans want McNeese.
Yeah, go McNeese.
Gonzaga does not want McNeese.
Who? St. Mary's playing Grand Canyon?
Yeah, exactly. BYU doesn't want Grand Canyon either.
Go Lopes.
Cougar Bell on X with our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated says, wish BYU would have been seated better. They earned it, but now it's time to make a run in the dance. It lines up. We've talked
it's
about
just
we love the 6th seed.
I love
that's the like you don't have to play a 1 until the Elite Eight if you make that run.
And you can play Iowa State
in the Sweet 16, which
in
I would
the Sweet
love.
Sweet 16, which BYU's beaten.
I would love that opportunity in Boston. All right, we'll put a bow on today's show with the Rise and shout out next. This is BYU Sports Nation. Madness, I tell you.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Men's hoops going dancing, baby. Can't wait. 6th seed taking on Duquesne, 11th seed Thursday morning. Let's go, baby.
They're back trying to win their first game in a dozen years in that tournament.
Way too long, man.
Our thanks to today's guest, Mark Pope.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, you never played in March Madness. Just a fact.
That he didn't. Or Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Jared Jensen. We'll see you tomorrow in Studio B. Go Cougs, baby!
Dennis complained about a foul I called on him one time in pickup. It was a foul, Dennis. You know it. You remember. It was in the Smithfield house. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Still holding on to that one, huh?